Welcome back, folks. Just over a week ago, New Orleans officials began dispersing homeless residents sleeping or camping in the French Quarter. And we were kind of curious as to how this is working relative to the pipeline of services for the homeless that have been developed in the city of New Orleans. And it's and as such, Ed Carlson, CEO of Odyssey House Louisiana and director of the New Orleans Low Barrier Shelter and Engagement Center, also known as the Low Barrier Shelter on Gravier Street, joins us to talk about this. Ed, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Noel. I really appreciate being here.
So, Ed, give us the state of the state.
Let me just tell you a little bit more about Odyssey House. We're the largest addiction treatment provider in the state of Louisiana. We treat over 24,000 people a year. We have over 500 beds that we provide services to throughout South Louisiana. We do everything from medically supported detox. We do short-term inpatient treatment. We have a long-term treatment program. We do housing, sober living housing. We also do a lot of prevention and work out into the community, overdose prevention, and we do a lot of work in homeless services. We're a nonprofit agency. We've been around for 52 years, and we specialize in the poor and the disenfranchised. And the homeless population is very much within the purview of people that we work with. Last June, it's been just a little over a year, we took over the Low Barrier Shelter. The city was having some difficulties with the operational piece. And so we employed a lot of best practices of shelter practice and how to provide services in the shelter and how to combine a whole host of services. And so with that process, we've been able to move a lot of people out of the shelter, deal with all the criminal activity that had been happening in the shelter, and really focus on helping people get the services that they need in the Low Barrier Shelter.
So
that's sort of the state of where we kind of are. I know that the city has been doing multiple sweeps. I know that they started working with the state and doing some sweeps. And we're very much involved in that, providing services to people and having beds available for them to be able to put people into.
So have you seen increased numbers moving through this pipeline of services?
Well, we've been really good at moving people out of the shelter. So we've been able to create a capacity to move people into the shelter. So that way people aren't languishing in the shelter. We've been able to do everything from helping people get employment, having job fairs at the shelter, helping them move out on their own, finding places to live on their own, getting jobs, as well as those people who are chronically and persistently mentally ill, helping them get the services, or people with disabilities who would qualify for permanent supportive housing, get them into housing. And then the people that we work with who we identify as having addiction issues, we're able to help move them into addiction treatment services.
So you, in the services that you're providing, just for the benefit of the listening audience, do you welcome or are you ambivalent? Or are you opposed to these proactive kind of roundups of, you know, folks in the French Quarter and other areas of the city with that going on?
Well, you know, I kind of see both sides of the process. But for me, letting somebody languish on the streets who have an addiction issue or also who have a mental illness isn't benefiting them or anybody in society. So kind of getting them off the street, getting them into the shelter so we can figure out what's going on with them is really kind of a first step to helping to solve the problems that they need to solve with the people. And I'm a big believer in when somebody has sort of moved their lives and made their lives in such a way, regardless of whether it was their choice or if they were born with a mental illness or whatever it is, if somebody eventually has to kind of step in and say, hey, we got to stop the madness for this person just can't languish on the street. They just can't sit around and use drugs all day. We have to somehow stop and help move people into treatment and services. And that's what we try to do very hard at Odyssey House and the work that we do at the Low Barrier Shelter.
And what is, you know, I think a lot of folks are curious. I think people agree with you with how you just outlined this totally, myself included. What has been the success rate of moving folks to permanent housing?
So the key to having good success in permanent housing is making sure that somebody is heavily case managed and that they have access and that they're getting the services that they need. So if you're chronically and persistently mentally ill and you need a certain amount of medication, you have to make sure that somebody is working with you and following up with you. Because if not, if somebody is or somebody's active in their addiction and they're using, those people wind up back on the street almost as fast as you get them off the street. Because no landlord's going to put up with that, and no housing units are going to put up with any of that kind of behavior that's involved with that. So you have to make sure that the people are getting the services, and they're getting the services at the level that they need, and that there's constant follow-up with them about that. And that's part of a key success to permanent supportive housing.
Well, it makes perfect sense, right? I mean, first off, beating addictions is not easy by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
It's a very difficult process. And, you know, I love to hear the success stories because, having worked with that population for so many years, I mean, we actually funded social detox facilities in Jefferson Parish when I was the sheriff because we recognized there was a shortage of those services. And without them, we weren't going to get anywhere. You know, I mean, it's something that needed to happen. I was just kind of curious, because you hear all the anecdotal stories, people don't want permanent housing. But a lot of the, sectors of the population, they don't really know what they want because they're so drugged out or they're so mentally incapacitated. They don't really have a sense of reality, do they?
Well, the truth of the matter is they don't. I mean, if you're caught within your mental within a mental illness, for example, and you're not taking your medications and you're wandering around the streets, confused and dazed, unable to focus yourself and your attention, that person's going to need a whole lot of help and stabilization to get them before you can even consider putting them into housing, right? Same way with somebody who's actively involved in their addiction. They're not going to be able to stay into housing because of all the problems that come with addiction. Putting somebody into housing, if they're actively using, so many times I've seen it happen where, it becomes a drug den, and there's a lot of other drug activity and there's people in there and they're tearing apart the unit and the landlord will never rent to somebody with a voucher again because of the damage that's done with it. So getting people into treatment and services and help getting their heads clear and help getting them stabilized so you can figure what's the appropriate level of care. Now, somebody with a chronic mental illness might need more of a group home setting. They may not be able to be put into an apartment. But you're not going to know that until you get a good period of time of stability with them and get them on their medication and get them in a good place. I've seen some amazing success stories with people who had mental illnesses, addiction, or both, and getting the right medication, the right services, we're able to actually become productive members of society and really begin to contribute back to society and work and have their house and have a place to live and, being able to sort of create that for themselves. Now, it doesn't always end that way, but for a lot of people, if you can sort of get them clean and stabilized, you can kind of figure out what are the things that are going on with them. And then with a good case management team, focus on getting them to be able to move forward in their lives and not spending their lives on the street. I don't think anybody really, at least all the people, and I've been working in the field for over 40 years in the addiction field. And so I've never really met anybody that when they were in the midst of their addiction, that they, and especially when all the problems that were associated, that they were happy about that, but they felt there was no way out. And what we try to do is give them a path forward and show them how they can be able to get sobriety, get sober, maintain their sobriety, and become productive members of society.
Ed, you must have started when you were you must have started when you were 12.
No, I'm 63. I started in my early 20s. I've been working in this field for a long time. I really enjoy it. I love the work. I have a great passion for it. Really enjoy the work that I do at Odyssey House.
The governor recently granted you guys $380,000 to fund permanent housing for shelter residents. When we think long term, are we going to be able to sustain this? I mean, you know, because, you know, you've been around a long time. You see these programs mm-hmm. come and go, right? You see the funding yep. come yep. and go. Yep. And when things yep. get tight, mental health is one of the first that mental health yep. services. It always boggles my mind, and no pun intended, but why that would, you yeah. know, would be the first thing to cut. Because it's one of the most critical. Do we have the oomph to continue this?
Well, I think that I spend a lot of time. I do a lot of advocacy work, both local, state, nationally, and internationally. And I see that a lot of people are very interested in trying to understand, because I think people get frustrated because they feel like they put a lot of money towards things and they don't see any outcomes. So, for example, Odyssey House, we have a whole department that focuses on compliance, quality, and outcomes, and outcome measurements. And if something's not working, we don't want to continue to do something or waste taxpayer money by continuing to do the same thing over and over again just because we've done it this way for 5, 10, 20 years. We want to make sure that we're constantly providing the highest quality services with the best outcome using data and information and constantly learning about what are the things that are happening around the United States or around the world, around best ways and best practices of treating addiction and or people with mental illness or people who have both. And so we're a little unique in that we do this very integrated approach where we provide primary care because we have two federally qualified health centers. We do mental health, and then we do substance abuse treatment services, all in this integrated fashion. And we have found that the combination of these provides better outcome data across the board, and that we're able to get better bang for our buck for the money that is being spent. And so we really try to focus on making sure that we have the services available and a full continuum of care that will make sure that we target and get people the right level of services that they need so they can focus on moving forward to become productive members of society.
Return on our investment, it's music to my ears. And I don't mean to interrupt you, but I got to get to a break. But if folks want to get involved with your organization or donate money, where would they go?
They could go to our website is the easiest way to do it. We are in a constant growth mode, but we're always looking for possible donations. Because of client confidentiality, we can't really take a lot of volunteers. But we're also always looking for board members and people who want to help to work with us in the services we provide.
And the website is what now?
It's www.ohlinc.org.
All right. www.ohlinc.org. Ed Carlson, CEO of Odyssey House, Louisiana, and the director of the New Orleans Low Barrier Shelter and Engagement Center. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep up the great work, Ed, and have a great week.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back. Check in with Scoot or Ian. Ian Hoax in for Scoot. Sorry about that. We'll be right back. Stay with us.